Okay, I just want to make sure so I have some.
Yeah, I should be free at the end, around the middle of December.
Okay, well, I got your number now. I'll be in touch with you. Text me what's
yeah, what. That's a good number.
That's a good number? Okay.
No. When you call in them, you said, well, call me.
Okay, now. Right. Now, that's the who. Oh, I want to sure enough call that number.
Huh?
I want to call that number.
There you go.
I want to call that number.
Hey, Brandon, can you mute it on your end so you're ready to talk? We get a lot of road noise.
Yep, certainly.
How he gonna be driving and talking at the same time? Y'all be distracting people. Well, gotta have him. We got Mr. Corey here.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Mr. Corey.
Yeah.
He's at the back.
Yeah. Well, good evening, everybody. Thank you all for taking time out of your very, very busy schedules to join us this evening. It's very much appreciated. Let's bow our heads. Dear Father, we come before you and we ask for your wisdom, oh God. We never, ever stop asking for your wisdom. No matter what the circumstances are, no matter what the situation shows, we know that you have a plan. Whether we like it or whether we do not like it, we know that you have a plan and we trust you because we know that you are sovereign, God. And Lord, we just pray right now that you give all of us wisdom, you give all of us mercy, and you give all of us grace. We have children that you have committed to our hands. We are the custodians of those children, Father. And we just pray that you help us to see through whatever the storm is trying to bring, that you give us the eyes to see and ears to hear. And we honor you, and we will always give you glory. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, we are here today to review and discuss the district's test scores, among other things. And I would like to ask Dr. Smothers if she would give us a presentation of our district scores.
Yes. All right, so good evening, everyone. The packet in front of you looks like this. So if you want to take that out, you're going to take a little stroll for a little bit. But through the data, because there's a lot of data, it's very heavy, data packed. It's a heavy presentation as it pertains to data. So you're going to need some time to look through it. And we're going to talk about it also as we get through it. But before we do that, I want you to look at the front page. We recognize what our situation is. We acknowledge it. And we also know that we have a responsibility to serve 1,000 families. And with those 1,000 families, we have 1,000 students. So it's important for us to get centered on the fact that they're still with us, that they still choose us, that they want to be Baker, and we just have to work to build that better leader. These results are not comfortable. They're very challenging for us. In some ways, for me, a little shocking, because I definitely wasn't expecting it. But as a result, this is where we are. And, of course, Mrs. Spurgeon said best in prayer that, you know, we may not like it, it's not comfortable, but this is where we are, and we have to move together to make those changes. The first document, if you'll turn, I want to talk a little bit about our attendance and our enrollment. So all of this is in alignment with the strategic plan. So as we're strolling through this, we're seeing our growth and our growth targets as we meet those milestones within our plan. Well, if you look here in the blue, This is not October 29th. This is October 2029. So everything in blue identifies our growth, our enrollment target. Some of us are definitely, most schools are definitely on target for reaching it. But we have a significant decline here at Park Ridge Academic Magnet. You can see from May 2024 to October 2024, we've had a decline. That's a decline of 27 students. And for us, that's quite significant at our magnet school. And of course, that is going to be, you're going to see a little bit of that trend or that impact in the data as we stroll through. If you look further at the bottom in your packet, it'll let you know, based upon the data within our schools, the enrollment within our schools, this is going to let us know how many students we need to enroll each year in order to meet the blue target. The interesting thing about this, if you look at page 2, is that in 2019, we had 1,209 students. I think you did every other page on it.
Oh,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Done it over the years.
But I'll continue, so I think you all have it. So if you look in 2019-2020, enrolled students was 1,209 students. I want you to look at the enrollment trend and changes in all of the purple highlighted places. I want you to see the change per year. In addition to that, I want you to see the graduates per year. I want you to know, if we look at our growth target in comparison to 2019 to 2029, a span of 10 years, a decade, it's going to actually take us, if we stay on this trend of 17 students per year added to our Baker Heights enrollment, or the additional, as you see in the table, 13 students at Park Ridge, adding 9 students each year, that are we retaining these students. Not that they're moving about, but we're actually retaining. We have the programs, the interests and opportunities for students, and they're choosing to stay. In order for us to recover by 2029 compared to 2019, we have to be able to maintain these students. But, of course, we want to increase it far beyond that, but to meet that goal, that's important. We've seen slightly a 19% decline in student enrollment since 2019. 19%. There's an average, if you look at the withdrawals. Now, keep in mind, as students withdraw, students enter, okay? So it kind of floats that way. As they withdraw, they enter, but there's an average of 330 withdrawals each year. If you look at the very bottom, you're only going to see that 193. That's because we're still in this school year. We're still in this school year. So it's not completely over at this point. I also want to highlight, and the reason why I'm highlighting the student enrollment, because it's impacting our performance. There's a layer that impacts our performance as well. Mm-hmm. Okay? So with that, I want you to look at 2022-2023, the graduates. And I want you to see the graduates from the previous year. Let's just look at 2020-2021. We went from graduates, 76 graduates, to 92 graduates. And in that 92 graduates, that was significant. And I want to let you know that that was during a year right after COVID, where there was a waiver. So we were able to get more students in graduate, to meet the graduate criteria. There was waivers for students on assessments because of COVID. So we were able to increase that. But shortly after that waiver was removed, the reality hit and we dropped back down to 68 graduates. And then 62. All right, let's move to the next page. I want you to take a few minutes to look at all of the data within. I want you to look across data. expanding from 2017 to 2024. The first table of a graph is going to be on our K-8 assessment index. You'll see, based upon our strategic plan goals, the present said 26.6. That was from 2023 now, because that's when we began that full 2023-24 development. And then the 2029, right underneath that line, says 65%. That's our goal for 2029. That means we have to increase 7.7 points each year under K-8 assessments. If you look at the graph, our goal this year was 34.3. If you look, last year we were at 26.6. We were actually projecting up to that goal on a positive trend, and then we realized, okay, the data comes out, it's 24.8. If you look at our K-8 progress index, the next graph, you'll see what our projection was. Our projection was to meet at 79.6%. Our percentage last year was 77. We were on a positive trend in getting that way, or approaching or getting that goal. And we can see that we arrived at 70.3. If there is an impact in assessment, it's going to impact progress. So all of those work hand in hand for the most part. Look at third through fifth grade data. Some of the high points of that is our third grade mastery, percent of mastery. There was a slight slip in the score in the mastery reporting. However, students were still in the double digits in the reporting of ELA and math. Science overall is going to be a space where you're going to see there needs to be significant improvements in science. And this year it counted twice versus social studies and science. It counted twice for science alone. But I also want you to look at the trend of data, of the data marks across 2015 to 2024. It seems we have not at this point made the rebound after COVID as we, of course, should be projected to make. But look at the trend. It's almost similar data across from 2015. Mm-hmm. And that should tell us a story. You're going to see the same thing happening here for fourth grade. The trend of data. You can see, however, there was some high performance 2015 to 2018. In 2019, you can see that decline began to happen. And then after the pandemic, of course, we have not yet rebounded pre-pandemic. Fifth grade, pretty much the same. One highlight is that we did improve, of course, in ELA. With the percent of mastery, and it was the highest it had been since 2021. Any questions on third through fifth or elementary? Sixth grade. Now we're going into middle school, and the reason why we're taking it this way is because we have to look at full K-8 data, so that you can see the impact it's had on the assessment and progress index. So when we look at sixth grade, one of the highlights for sixth grade is that the performance for 2024, in percent of mastery and above, was far greater than the last 4 years, 4 to 5 years. Wasn't exactly enough, but it was. It had actually met our strategic plan target, but it was not enough to move the index as we needed it to be moved. Next, seventh grade. Pretty much maintained or was stagnant here across 23-24. Had slight increase in mathematics, but not enough to push the index. Eighth grade. Now, keep in mind, this is all eighth graders. Baker Middle, and prams, eighth graders. So for the eighth grade, of course, we had a math target for us for spring 2024 of 11.6. And we met that target. No, we did not meet the math target, but we met the ELA, approached the ELA target. At 20%, we were at 19% mastery. And so we're now getting in place targets for spring 2025. Now, when you look at this, we know that we've had a decline in our K-8 assessments. But now when you begin to connect the K-8 assessments with the high school assessments, you're going to see an increase, of course, from 2023 at 24.9, a slight increase, to 25.1. You're now calculating in the high school assessments. High school assessments, if we'll take a look at the next graph, high school assessment closely met its mark. It started at 17.8, I believe, and we arrived at 26.4 in assessment index. That was a significant increase for the high school. If we look at the high school progress, which is questionable to me, our assessment index went up, but our progress was pretty much stagnant, which is questionable. I would think that it should have also increased as well, but it depends on what the students' individual targets were and whether or not they met their individual targets. The highlight for our district this school year for our SPS or DPS and assessment highlights would definitely be the high school. If you look here at 2024 under the high school, you can see how their performance overall for mastery and above was the best that it had since 2018 for ELA and ELA English 1 and 2. Definitely progressing in math, in Algebra 1 if we compare across 21 to 20 of the last 4 years. Same for the biology and the U.S. history. So there was a lot of work in rebounding from the pre to post-pandemic, trying to rebound from those particular scores. So overall, we've seen several highlights. The high school assessment was a strong highlight for us. The third grade mastery, and you're also going to see in just a few moments the K-8 progress, the progress for Baker Middle School. So here we have strength of diploma. Now, we just talked about the graduate numbers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Graduate cohort and strength of diploma go hand in hand. So we have to ensure that we are graduating students, number one, that start with us in ninth grade, that they stay with us through the cohort, through the 4 years. The issue here is that we have a lot of mobility, a lot of movement among students, you know, from one district to the next. Sometimes, and you'll find that they'll return back to the district, then they'll leave out again. It just depends, right? So we have a lot of that, you know, that movement that we need to make more solid for us across the city. So we did have a decline in our strength of diploma, but I'm definitely thinking that there's a correlation with the enrollment as well. Next. Graduate cohort, same thing, slight decline here. And you can take a look at our ACT index. Our target was for 35.4 this school year. Looks like we kind of remained stagnant as compared to 2023. Any questions so far? Now, the next page that you're going to see is really a comparison of mastery. I also took the time in this middle table right here is just comparing the 2022 and 2023 school data and ranking them in comparison to other districts within the state and seeing how we perform and whether we grew. That's from 2022 to 2023. This table will also be done for 2023-2024. And next you'll find, you know, how we ranked as a in particular to district with masteries. And now we're going to get specifically to just dive real deeply into our school performance scores. Now, this is an essential piece. Look at the district performance score over time. Beginning with 2023, this is a decade of scoring. 10 years. 10 years of the City of Baker Schools. Hmm. It appears to me that it's almost as if, like, we went up 48.5 to the 50.3 D. This was slight improvement, but a D is at 50. So any drop anywhere could hit us at any point. It was very, this is very vulnerable, and at any point there's a drop anywhere, it can drop the score. So that's when we experienced that particular drop at the 48.4 for this year's district performance score. We're going to dive a little bit deeper into the school by school so that way we can see where this impact is happening. It's important to understand that as we talk about progress in just a few moments and assessments, when it comes to elementary schools, our assessments represent 70% of the school performance score. Mm. How our students perform is 70% at the elementary level, and the elementary, middle, high, like our K-8, or even any grade that that includes 6, like prams, is going to be 65%. Our progress is 25% on both sides of that progress. So with that being said, you'll understand that if our students are not doing well on assessments, that's an essential hit to the school performance score automatically. For the high school, you know, it's, of course, it's transitioning. There's a lot of change in the high school that's going to be impactful for us. So we have to be able to change with it. And we have several indices that compiled, of course, where we were in terms of the current. But the newly adopted is going to change where it's going to be heavily assessment to. Heavy, heavy on assessments, LEAP assessments. So with that being said, we're going to move to the next slide. And we see the impact, of course, that has happened at the district level. Now we're looking at each individual school. Keep in mind, the letter grades remain the same for at 2023 to 2024. Remember that 50.3 or 50.8, sorry, it puts us in a very vulnerable place. Any drop anywhere can hit us pretty tough. So with that, we did have a decline across the grades with lower within the grade band, but the grade itself remained the same. You can see the impact across Park Ridge Academic Magnet, and that in itself was heavy enough to really shift that district performance score. Some of the weight of that came from definitely assessments across middle school, element, third through eighth grade. Assessments was definitely a huge challenge across the district. And specifically when it came to progress, if you'll see our progress grade, Baker Middle School was the only school that actually maintained the B from progress from the previous year. Their progress was very strong in terms of growing students.
Talk about the EL population real quick. Is that in here?
So not specifically, I didn't break it out in subgroups, but I do know we need to definitely spend a lot of our time developing our EL students. We currently have about 80 EL students in our population, in our smaller populations. That's significant. Those students are learning the English language, and they have to also take these assessments. They are also included in this data. Now, previously, I know that there was some discussion as it pertains to graduates that, you know, at one point before the legislature was their ability to submit a portfolio. Mm-hmm. If they couldn't pass the assessment, what have you, but that did not pass. So those students also have to pass their assessment. It is very challenging to have conversations when they've met their senior year, haven't passed the assessments for graduation, and unable to graduate because of their language challenges, you know, the English language proficiency. The next couple of tables you'll see, and I'm getting ready to wrap this up quickly for you guys, but the next table that you're going to see is a comparison of our performance to similar schools within our local districts that have similar demographics, as well as varied, I would say, varied enrollment. So with that, although Park Ridge had a decline in its progress, they did do well in terms of mastery in comparison to other schools within the area. In English language arts, mathematics is definitely still that area to focus on and to bring more attention to. Baker High School, I really like this slide, because their performance across English 1 and 2, algebra 1, biology, if you look at it in comparison to some of our neighboring schools and within the local school districts or EBR, or you may see East Feliciana, I'm sorry, St. Helena comparison here, you can see how they are moving in the right direction to push toward this new accountability system with assessments. Now, is it an A or B in assessments? No, but they are progressing toward getting to that level. Now, with that, just to close out so that you can know exactly how we're performing across the strategic plan efforts, in the next few pages, you're going to find our five priorities. The first one is instruction, high-quality instruction. We met as a working group, compiled and created the strategic plan. We set goals around enrollment. We set goals around performance. And we're holding each other accountable because those goals are attached to our assessments, whether we meet the target, are we off the target, are we meeting. And we'll have to meet again in February to start making those adjustments on where we need to be. So with that, this just talks about all of the things that we're doing and the partnerships that we have to help us move the needle forward. Much of it is around our partnership with our principals, working with the Coherence cohort. We are pushing in for principals to get that additional support. Our teachers are meeting within IET. We're also going to have some external partners to come in with our math teachers, because overall, math is an area that we need to strengthen overall across the district. And just different levels of support that we're providing in terms of high quality instruction and getting there. We also have some concern of the culture within our district. It talks about a positive school culture and the things that we're doing to move the district forward in the area. All of that is entailed within the guidance across our priorities, our operations, our resources. So this is a good time for you to take a moment to take, you know, a look at it. Ask us any questions. I think all of our representatives are here today. And if you have any questions regarding it, and I can answer any questions for you, just let me know. But we are monitoring our progress and keeping up with the progress by documenting what we're doing. But I can say this, and I'm going to go back to it. We have 1,000 students that still say yes. And with that, it's going to be essential that we put a game plan together to move this district in this school year. So not only are we moving it slightly, we have to be quite aggressive, and we have to have a plan to really, really get this going forward. And all the support that you all can provide to us, give to us, encouraging us, because it's tough. I mean, we see the news, we read it too, and we're the boots on the ground with it. So with that being said, any help that you all can provide and prayers that you all can lend, please do put those up for us. Any questions at all?
I have a couple of questions.
Okay.
Number one, I like what you said about 1,000 students, mm-hmm. and 1,000 reasons to believe. Mm-hmm. I like that. Series of tests. What are the upcoming tests that will determine our district's performance for next school year?
So the most significant window of testing is going to be your LEAP testing. But prior to that, we also have small population tests, or for students within our special populations, mm-hmm. like the LEAP Connect assessment. We also have the ELPT for our EL students.
What are the datelines for these tests?
Oh, testing begins as early as March.
Okay.
We have an assessment calendar that we follow. They begin as early as March. In fact, however, before our fall test, we have a fall retake for LEAP, and that begins next month.
December.
Mm-hmm. That's so all the students.
Fall retake?
Uh-huh. Fall LEAP.
LEAP retake.
LEAP reassess, retest.
Those are state formal assessments, though. We also give benchmark assessments. Mm-hmm. So we give DIBLs. We have DIBLs and MAP, which are both coming up in December, which we'll do a mid-year.
DIBLs.
Yeah, all three of them are happening in December.
Mid-year measure of where we're headed this year.
Do these tests lend toward next year's performance?
Right. Yes.
They do. The one coming up in December?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
So if you have students that take a test, like any initial assessment, if a student is taking the test for the first time, which we rarely have that in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually in the spring after they've completed their courses. Rarely have it, but there are some cases where it's considered, in some places. But, yes.
Okay. Another question. I see we have a lot of teacher support development. And if we get certified teachers, does it really require that much
development?
Yeah.
It depends on the student.
Like we're already teaching students,
mm-hmm.
and we're already, evaluating students as to their performance.
Yes.
Do we really have to put that much time into teachers?
To be honest, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why is because, one, our teachers are facing a new evaluation system. The Louisiana Department of Education now has a LEAVES program, and whereas they have a more rigorous evaluation system, the State Department is have a high expectation of teacher performance, and therefore we have to, especially to approach what we have going on with our assessments, we have to prepare them. We have to prepare them for rigorous instruction so that our students know how to address rigorous tasks. And so we can't, they have to have that capacity and the content development, they have to be strong. So we have to continue to wrap professional development around them because they have to be ever growing and continued learning practitioners in education. They have to.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And where our EL students are concerned, is there some sympathy that the state allows for these students because they may be slow at learning the language?
The approach was to bring forth that portfolio plan that I mentioned earlier, I think about a year and a half ago, but that did not pass.
Mm-hmm.
As a result, students are... they have to adhere to all of the criteria as all other students.
Mm-hmm.
And that population has increased drastically.
Of course, yeah.
What
we
was
went
it 3 years
from 45
ago?
80 to 80.
Dr. Hill. How many students? Yeah, it's almost doubled in the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You said that we have not rebounded since pre-pandemic.
In some areas.
And we've done a lot of tutoring.
Yes.
So what do you attribute that to?
We've done significant amount of tutoring. And so it depends on a lot of the work that we're doing was to close the gap. So our students ultimately started at a certain level, right? And they may have been maybe a grade level off, possibly two grade levels off from the on grade level assessments. These assessments that the state bring forth to us are on grade level, mastery level assessments, where students are reading on grade level, where students are performing at rigorous tasks. So that continued development is helping, but it's not helping. We see that it's helping in some particular areas, like our progress here at the middle school, Baker Middle, that progress is improving. We're maintaining that B, we're growing students, but we are seeing some challenges in other areas. This year, we are impacting through high dosage tutoring. We have Ms. Sandra Douglas and SOAR Education coming into our schools We have reading specialists on site Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Mrs. Ely, of course, serves as a support and coordinator for the program, the Steve Carter program in the afternoon, but high dosage tutoring is happening within the school day. So even with the after-school tutoring and the teachers making that impact, it did not close the gap significantly as we had hoped.
And you said that there's been a lot, I mean, in high school. Mm-hmm. Any changes will cause us to take a hit.
There's been a lot of, say it again, changes at the high school.
You said when you were on the high school slide, uh-huh. You said that any changes that happens with the students, that we take a hit.
Yeah. Yes,
and
we do.
So do you see any other changes that forthcoming that we could possibly
take hits on?
Yes.
Okay, so we're getting ready to go into a new accountability plan, right? So we have to be aggressive in every area. It's almost like nothing is, I mean, there's non-negotiables across this.
Exactly.
There's no compromising because we are so vulnerable that any decline in any area can hit us. And when it hits hard,
That's right.
We have to face it. So we have to be intentional about our development for leaders. We have to be intentional about our development for teachers. We have to know that we put everything out there that we know with the resources we have to ensure that they are successful. In many cases, so could it potentially be another hit? Possibly so, because this is a new system we're going into, and we've never seen this before. And it won't hit the K-8 as much as it would hit the high school, because K-8 was all about the growth anyway, whereas in K-8, it will go up a little bit, Mr. Stroder. See, this is where the correlation is. This is our current one. And see, K-8 is where they're focusing on growing students. This is such an opportunity for us because we have students we need to grow. Mm-hmm. So getting those points off of the growing students, that's going to work for us. But when it comes to, if we can make the right moves, this can benefit us, and we can be a new ranking in a matter of, 5-6 months before we go back into testing?
6 months.
We have a position to place ourselves in by that point. But we have to make sure everything is in place, and everybody's moving with the same rhythm. When we look at high school, though, up a little bit, Mrs. Stroh.
Yeah.
High school is a little different. See, here, this is where all the argument came, you know, when it came to accountability and Bessie and all, and everybody was arguing about, you know, the fact that, hey, the high school, this new system is going to be far too rigorous, because there was a lot of focus on ACT, there was a lot of in work keys, and if students did work keys at a certain point, at a certain level, that they could gain like a silver or gold, then those scores can be substituted in lieu of ACT. It was like a lot of wonderful things happening. And then, of course, strength of diploma, making sure your students were in dual enrollment and CTE classes, and that, you know, making sure that enrollment was strong. A lot of this focused on enrollment and participation and all that. Well, they're shifting that. Because, see, now, and even with the high school doing so well in their assessments, you know, with that improvement, not all of their, you can notice that for assessments, it's in the green, 25%, and that's including their progress. Whereas for the elementary, reason why we got hit so hard for assessments, because it's 70% versus 25. But if Dr. Russell's school was at 70% and that assessment was up, you can see the impact of it. Mm-hmm. Everything is kind of like, it depends on where it's placed, right? So this, going into the 25-26 school year, assessments are the new Grow and Achieve High School assessments going from 25% to 75%. So Dr. Russell and her team are definitely challenged to continue to increase the assessment stride that they've made, because 75% of their SPS is going to be a how well students test on Algebra 1, Geometry, English 1, English 2. And the others, biology and history.
That's what she finished.
Yep.
What is the problem with us not being able to get certified teachers. We have so many subs, and now he's paying second in the state. I mean, this is a business, mm-hmm. okay? And I'm sure we could get certified teachers, and we've been talking about this for a while now, certified instead of all these substitute teachers.
Yeah.
So, and I know principals and different ones get attached to this person, that person, but I mean, sometime at one point, we got to go ahead and do some kind of open enrollment to open it up for certified teachers. Start taking applications again for certified teachers. And somebody besides the principal, I guess they say the principal's doing the hiring, mm-hmm. but I'm sure HR or superintendent have to look at that too.
Oh, absolutely.
And agree with that, yay or
nay. Accept the recommendation.
Yes, mm-hmm. because it ain't working.
So yeah. part of it is a problem in the pipeline. Like, there's just not large percentage of certified teachers that are in the pipeline. Most of the teachers that are coming through the pipeline are alternative certification mm-hmm. measures. That's one problem. However, we do have a policy now that we haven't had before. At the end of the year, if you are not a certified teacher, you have to reapply for your position. So that's what we're doing to try to move more certified teachers into the system.
I asked that same question a while back, and I was told that Mr. Schroeder allowed the principals to do that. And
let's be clear. Act 1 gives the principals legislative authority to do that. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Okay, what I'm asking is this then. Why mm-hmm. do we have certified teachers that we let go? That was my question.
I guess I don't know what you're referring to.
There were certified teachers that were here. And then I
can tell you, if we have a certified teacher that we let go, it was either because of an issue that occurred or state assessment performance. Those are the only reasons we let go of certified teachers.
Because we do have some now, mm-hmm. but I know we can't let them go until we be able to get more.
What's our percentage of certified teachers?
I think we're right at high 50s, low 60%.
Okay, almost 60%.
Ms. Bernie, so
you've given it to us before. We were at
30%, I think, in 2022. 30% of our teachers were certified. It was like a 30-70.
Is there a state average of certified teachers that we must have?
You can probably find it. Oh, no, there's not.
There's not? Okay.
No, and I think if you look at the certification averages across the state, you're probably going to see something similar. Mm-hmm. I have two letters from districts that kind of represent that.
And do a lot of students take advantage of this tutoring program that they offer? Because I know last year, tutoring was supposed to start this time one week and then start the next week and then start. So
what we're doing now is we have tutoring during the school day at the elementary. So automatically, on schedule, those students are rotated out
okay.
to go and read with their specialists, to go and work on their skill development foundations in literacy. So that's happening during the school day, where they're being pulled out of their ancillaries or what have you, just to get that support. After school tutoring, which is the Steve Carter tutoring, we definitely are encouraging. Now, before, it was a district-wide, you know, program mm-hmm. for us where we picked our kids up, dropped them off at home, and they mostly participated. We had some high participation at the elementary, not so much middle in high school, not so much middle in high school at all. And it's based upon, you know, getting parents to sign them up to get there and come after school.
Right.
That's a challenge.
I
think
too.
That since we're on the topic, family, you know, connecting families with the and allowing them to know and understand our status and the importance of the improvement and the importance of their, you know, participation, that's essential. So, I mean, anything y'all, you know, share out with the parents or your constituents to let them know how important this is, because the work and the boots on the ground within the schools can only go so far.
So far, right. Mm-hmm. The parents, yeah.
We went to a parents' night at one of our schools, mm-hmm. and there were probably less than 10 parents there. So I saw the school making an effort
well marketed.
And only less than 10 parents showed up. So, like you said, it is parents giving 100% and schools giving 100%.
Yes.
So there's something we've got to do to encourage our parents. to participate.
But out of those 10 parents, though, like the principal said, it was the ones that kids didn't even need to be there.
Yeah, she did say that.
If a child was dancing, yes, whatever parent would be there.
Right. Exactly. Right. Exactly.
And that's ultimately our challenge.
The board.
Yeah, that's our challenge. And that's how we're different from other communities in that they're participating. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I have a question. After reading the paper and doing some research in from the past 12, 15 years, is the city of Baker school system, have they had any conversation with the Bessie Recovery District.
I'm about to address that shortly. I'm going to address that shortly.
Yeah.
Any further questions outside of that that I can assist with? Well, I want you to know I am here. If you ever have a question, please come by and visit with me, and we move on to the next phase of our discussion today.
All right, so this article came out in March of this last year. I don't know if you remember this article or not, but basically the gist of it is that Superintendent Brumley was reviving the recovery school district after a decade of dormancy. And you can talk to Brandon about the history of that. It was dreadfully unsuccessful, so that's why it was dormant for a decade. But on that list was one of the Baker schools. They had Baker Middle School right here on that list, along with about 25 other schools. So I'm just going to go down the timeline. So in May of 2024, and I'll send this to you guys in an email in the morning so you can read these articles. I don't know if you remember this. In May, he visited Caddo Parish, and he told the Caddo Parish School Board that they needed to close, I think it was seven schools, or the Recovery School District was going to take those schools over. So Caddo did vote to close those seven schools. Also in May, and this is in the timeline as well, he sent letters, and I have those letters here. He sent a letter to Grant Parish in May, and basically, to make a long story short, he told Grant Parish that they had to close. They had to close the school. And they went down a statement of facts and requirements as well. Yep. In June... I received a communication from the State Department that said they wanted to partner with us with their coherence cohort. So the coherence cohort with the Department of Education is a program that the department has instituted to work with schools that are consistently underperforming. And based on what we were doing here in Baker, they wanted to partner with us this year to see what they could do with those schools. So we've been partnered with the coherence cohort this year. With the state, that came with some grant monies where our staff and our principals are attending some leadership trainings with the coherence cohort. They're also visiting the schools. We have partnered with Attune, which is also through the State Department, and Attune comes in and does a third-party review of what's happening in the classroom, what are they seeing in classrooms, what are they hearing when they talk to students, what are they hearing when they talk to teachers. They observe principals, they observe ILT meetings, they observe PLC meetings. So we did get a first report back from them that we'll probably share with you at some point, just recently.
So how long has this process been going on?
Since August.
Of this year.
And that's the part of our strategic plan.
Yes.
We're looking at what actions we've made, or how we've addressed high quality instruction and support for teachers, because I know one of the main focuses was, Ms. Perkins, you wanted to make sure that there was teacher collaboration going on, and so this was a part of that initiative, supporting that initiative of teacher collaboration, teacher development across the district.
So is this what they mean when they say site visits? So we will be getting information on what those
the report.
Yes.
So when will you do that?
We'll probably set that up for the January board meeting. Okay.
Let me ask a question. Is that report available now?
We did go through a draft review.
We don't have the final report from.
Okay.
But that just happened this week, like 2 days ago.
Yeah, two days ago. And they'll meet with each principal to deliver the results within the next December.
Right after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, after Thanksgiving.
And that's attuned.
Attuned.
Okay.
Okay. There's some things I want to point out in this letter, though. So this was the letters that the State Department, through the Recovery School District, sent out to the districts. Basically, you have schools that have been underperforming for more than four consecutive years. So when they reinstituted the Recovery School District, they wanted to take a look at UIR schools that had been underperforming for more than four consecutive. So these were the ones that Caddo had, Grant Parish had one. Both of those districts had failed to meet the 70% instructional requirement. The per pupil expenditure at those schools were exceeding the state average. Those schools had low percentages of teachers that were certified. The seven schools in Grant Parish had 39%. That were uncertified. I think the Grant Parish was pretty close to that. It was in the 30th percentile. And I'll send this out to you guys. Okay. So in August, we received a communication. Let me go to it. We received a communication from Pam Schooler, who is the Recovery School District Superintendent. Basically, she wanted to meet with us. She met with me and Dr. Smothers and said, basically, when she came in, she sat down with us, and they were looking at all of those things that they looked at in Grant Parish and Caddo Parish. But we had already addressed a lot of those with what we were doing previously, so they weren't finding the difference in average. They weren't finding the same percentages for certified, uncertified. They weren't finding unequal per pupil expenditures among those schools. So they came back. They said, issue us a corrective action plan. We issued them a corrective action plan, I think, September 19th. Mm-hmm. We sent that to them. We hadn't heard anything from them until November 19th?
Mm-hmm.
November 19th. I received another communication from her.
This week?
Yep, that said they're going to sit down on December 4th and review the corrective action plan and wanted to know if we wanted to add anything to it. They've been very vague with us. They were very specific with Caddo Parish and Grant Parish. They've been very vague with us on, you know, what do they think? What are they looking at?
What's the determination?
What's the determination?
What's the mm-hmm.
Haven't given us anything.
Mm-hmm.
What I do know, though, is what they're doing in those other districts is they're telling them, close these schools, consolidate students, or the Recovery School District will come in and take over. So we're currently in communication with the State Department to try to get some idea on what is their plan. We don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have that yet, but at some point, and it might be the December 3rd meeting, it might be a special meeting after December 3rd, but we are seriously considering a major redesign and structure of, you know, what does that look like in Baker?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have anything concrete that I'm ready to present yet, though, so I just wanted to give you a heads up on what the timeline is, and again, I'll send this out to you guys tomorrow.
I just find it interesting that the VESE board dismantled the RSD and everything that pertained to it, and then all of a sudden they want to reestablish it. Why can't they just dismiss everything that happened during that dismantling. And just, I mean, this is not a question. I'm sure you guys can't answer this, but I just find that quite interesting.
For one thing, for the last 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 years, everything's just been going. I don't know. Somebody not be held accountable for.
It's no accountability.
Well, no accountability these last 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years. So now that's why it's in such bad shape. And I know once you get to an F, it's hard to pull an
it's
F
hard.
Up. But now we got an F and two D's and C and F, but we still failing regardless. You fail, you
Thank
fail.
You.
Something will have to change. And
we're looking at a major redesign of what that looks like.
And what's the major?
The State Department Recovery School District, Coherence Cohort District.
Because I know they want to put all charter schools. And I was told this at a conference recently, that they are all public schools. In the next 10 years, we may not even have public schools in Baton Rouge.
Correct.
Because they are talking about charter schools. And that's why they, and people got money. That's why they put so much money into these charter schools. But they're not really teaching the kids anything. I know parents are pulling them out, Robin Baker, Robin Sackler, EBR, well, because they had to find that out for themselves. Mm-hmm. But something other, yeah. We want to do something.
It's still, some it's kind still of early. Well,
and certified teachers in here.
Not just certified, just make sure they care and understand their.
They got to know how to teach them, too.
Because you could just be certified, but just don't have that, that caring.
The teachers got to understand what they're teaching.
Right.
You got to know how to teach a child, for one thing. Some teachers, we probably have teaching them, and they may not understand. You got to break this down to a child whereby, and see, do you understand this? And see if they listening, or how you can relate to a child so they can understand it. I
just like to make a statement in reference to what our team started off saying. The children, to me, are missing the basics. They don't have a foundation. When you get to the 6th, 7th, 8th grade, you can't read and write. Wow. There's a problem. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, why is everybody could read, write, and do arithmetic if they could do nothing else. These children can't read and write, they can't add and subtract.
They don't have to write. Y'all know they don't be
right.
They don't even curse them on screen. Everything
it's too much computer crazy. Stuff now.
These kids don't even know how to
curse
it. They curse their name now.
And
they
not
took
with
that
AI,
out.
So they, you know, that writing is going to be worse.
Oh.
But the thing is,
they still need to do it.
Bank, we have got to go with the basics.
That's right.
These children have the right to excellent education like all the other schools in this state. And they're not getting it. Because when you're in the 4th, 5th, 6th, on upgrade, you can't read and write. It's a problem. It's a major problem.
That's where it
well,
starts. It starts elementary.
I have one of the elementary instruction supervisors here, and you know, up until 2023, we weren't allowed to
That's
teach
you
fives.
Know.
In the schools.
And
so,
found that out.
In 2023, when I became superintendent. We brought those phonics programs back in so we could start trying to go back and teach the skills that those kids, that we could see they've been missing for several years. Mm-hmm. But you can't just bring in a phonics program and all of a sudden it magically, you know, your students are all of a sudden up to speed. That's a process. That takes time.
I know it's not
that takes time.
It has to start.
To start a plan. Yeah,
so we have phonics back in. Our biggest hurdle is still trying to find, and I have some principals here, they can tell you, our biggest hurdle is still trying to find a highly qualified person to put into that classroom that knows curriculum, they know pedagogy, they understand instruction, they understand how to differentiate. It is tough to find those people. So one of the things that we're working on now, that part of our plan that we're presenting to the state is bringing in some outside agencies and putting on workshops
either weekly or biweekly, mm-hmm. you know, hour and a half, 2 hour sessions to try to teach those things to the teachers that we have, just because they don't get it. They can follow a scripted curriculum, but if the students' knowledge levels don't match that scripted curriculum, then they're at a loss for how they're
that's what how that's a lot what's going on too.
I think that ultimately, and I agree, Ms. Perkins, that we need to definitely, you know, push in the basics and get some things going. Mr. Stroud and the team, you know, the elementary team and administrators are working toward getting the phonics in and pushing in those skill developments. But what's also important is engaging our parents to help us, because they are the first teacher of their children. Right. And if they're able to help us close gaps, it wouldn't seem as overwhelming for us to do that work. And we're not, and I know and recognize that, you know, there are growing systems, but I just want to reiterate and for us to keep in mind that we have to build the community itself with our parents, with engagement, with supports, because they're going to respond when it's a cell phone. They're going to respond when it's, you know, something that's a lot of times when it's non-academic. But what's we need our churches, our community leaders, everyone to, you know, if literacy is our thing, and I really appreciate Chief Don with his literacy camp and tutoring service that he has. But if we had a revival, literacy revival going on here in the city, where all stakeholders are involved, that would help move our school system, where it won't just look like, you know, the school system. No, we are a community of schools. And it's essential that we put that in the forefront, because, you know, we have changes in staff each year. That's challenging. And that's not unlike any other school system in terms of staff development and changes. But we want to build a community where there's a sense of belonging, support, and where we want to not only support our students, but support our families in supporting our students. We have, you know, families where they have challenges, you know, academically themselves. Mm-hmm. Building a resource for them, a resource center for them. I think it's going to take everybody, all hands on deck.
One of the gaps, because of that gap, because we recognize the same gap with parents, and so we reached out to Bethany Mentorship Program this year, and so Bethany Mentorship comes in. Is it 2 days a week they're coming in? One day a week, so
they come during the school day.
The school day, they're coming in just to mentor kids at the elementary.
Mentor them how?
You see that lack of tutoring mostly. They do a lot of tutoring.
I guess my question is, if they're coming in and they're mentoring them, is there a set curriculum that they're using, or are they just coming in give pep talks?
Yeah, no, they have direction on what they're supposed to work with those students.
Is that available to see?
When Bethany
comes in, I think they use pretty much what they're using in the classroom. Okay. The students are already receiving. Okay. I mean, it is after school. So it's just like an hour to after school. It's not every day. It's just one day a week. Okay. It's pretty much like a motivation for people, but for the young students. And one of the drawbacks, I guess, at this particular time, they don't have transportation. So we have a growing number of students even still interested in, you know, coming and attending. So that's a good thing. But at this particular time, we're looking at roughly 40 students, I believe, that they're serving at this time.
And I would like to say something also. I was talking to a EBR police officer yesterday, mm-hmm. who he does detail at a school in Baton Rouge. And he was telling me that they have a program where when the students, after they get their report card, they, and when they see that they're having a problem or an issue in school, they have after school tutoring for them to get them up to speed so that they will, you know, move on to the next grade. And I thought that sounded like it also might be. I had never heard of that before.
We do that as well with high dosage tutoring with SOAR education.
So after school, when do they start? Carter program.
We have two. So we have high dosage tutoring that we do in the afternoons, where we have how many retired teachers are coming in?
Ooh, that's a good
think about 10.
No, that's great.
About 10 to 12 retired teachers.
Every 30 minutes, 3 days a week.
Is this for just elementary, lowercase, or high school?
The afternoons are done through a different tutoring program. That's the Troy Carter tutoring.
Okay, my next question is it beneficial or pain-based?
It's definitely beneficial overall, but I know that for the middle and the high school, middle school, we're going to start projecting to get the after-school tutoring started for them through SOAR Education. Getting students signed up starting in December to start in January with the after-school tutoring. Tutoring has been going on after school for K-5, specifically for that literacy campaign that the state has pushed out for high dosage, I mean, for Steve Carter. If you've heard of that, it's like this $1,000 voucher for parents, and it's up to $1,500 for parents. And so students are engaging in that, and each, you know, they're, we started in the summer, they did it in the summer, they did it partially during the spring, and they've been doing it during the fall. And Ms. Sandra Douglas, who's definitely renowned for her turnaround efforts of underperforming, you know, schools, she's working with them, that support, that's her program that she's working specifically with those students, her team. And they are, most of them are retired teachers who are very content strong and able to deliver and support students. So definitely seeing some growth. Our next checkpoint for seeing the growth is going to be our middle of the year DIBELS. That's starting December 4th. So they'll be screened again, and we'll see the impact of their performance, which that data will come to you probably in January.
Okay.
So, yes, it's a lot.
Brandon, do you have anything that you want to add?
Who?
Brandon.
Oh.
Hey, good evening.
I hadn't gone to sleep.
I think you covered most of it. They have to answer any questions about RSD and their process, if anybody has any.
I know we was on the list for that, recovering school district. And Mr. Schroeder, when did you say y'all was going to send something back to them?
Yeah, they're going to review our plan by December 4th.
Say that again?
By December 4th, they'll review our plan. But I can tell you that the only thing that they've been open to in those other districts that they've already
That's our meeting.
Now, those districts keep their students, but they had to close schools and restructure those students to other campuses.
And we've experienced something like that here before.
That's why Baker Fields.
Yeah.
About
2018-ish, 19-ish. Mm-hmm. Never knew what happened, but obviously I'm seeing that's what happened.
Yeah.
Brandon, since there's not been a recommendation from the Bessie Board, shall we try to think of something to do? Shall we take the first step, or should we wait for their recommendation, and if we have to call a special meeting?
So I only heard part of your question. I think you turned your head when you were talking away from the microphone.
You want to talk?
You said about not a recommendation having been received from RSD.
She said, should we be proactive and try to do something maybe at the December 3rd board meeting, or should we wait for the recovery school district to respond
through a special meeting or something? Yeah.
So if I remember correctly, the letter asked us to provide them something by December 4th. I don't think Bessie, or let me say it this way, I don't think RSD was going to have a recommendation on December 5, especially if they gave us till December 4th to provide additional information with respect to a turnaround plan, school realignment, and so forth. So I do think that once we deliver any updates in our plan to them, that we need to be prepared to execute on them, whether that means as soon as the December 3rd board meeting or maybe a special meeting just before Christmas, because we may receive the feedback from them right after our December 3rd board meeting, and then we would be able to take some definitive steps from our plan submission.
And their board meeting is December 10th?
Correct.
Okay.
I believe their agenda deadline is rapidly approaching, like in the next couple of days.
Okay, we got the board meeting.
So we may be able to see what's on their agenda before that?
We'll be able to see.
I don't think they could put anything specific on the agenda in regard to any recommendation for Baker, because they won't have reviewed our plan until December 4th. So the deadline for the agenda comes before what they have said their stated review is of any corrective action plan. So I don't think there's any way they could put it on the December 10th agenda.
No, which is why we're kind of asking the board to have flexibility with a potential special meeting.
Yeah.
You know, week, I guess that would be the week of like December 9th.
Mm-hmm.
Because once we submit, they may have some questions and they say, you know, this isn't a bad plan, or we can work with this. Why don't y'all go ahead and take the next steps to show action on the plan, which would be us having a special meeting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other questions?
Not unless we get some direction from the state that says we need to take action on something.
Okay, the reason I asked, two people called me about the scores. As soon as they saw them last night, I couldn't see anything. I hadn't even seen them. So I'm just saying, we need to say something.
I agree.
Even if there's something like what you did, you don't just leave them hanging, because that's my biggest concern.
Correct.
So we need to come up with some kind of plan so we can send to the board, huh? Before December, huh?
Not yet.
We submitted all the things that we were doing, like with high dosage tutoring, coherence cohort through the State Department, SOAR education, mentoring, the NIET collaboration. We submitted all that to the state in August. So they've had all that since August. I think that's why our letter was drastically different from the letters that Caddo Parish and Grand Parish got, because we've already covered a lot of those things. But at the same time, they've also had since August to look at that and comment on it, and we haven't received anything.
And if I'm not mistaken, didn't they take over Caddo?
They wanted to close the schools and move the children to
another campus.
So in addition to what you've done already, like the tutoring, you sent that in.
Yeah.
Can we implement something?
Ultimately the board still has local control. So I think if the board did want to take action to do something similar to that, I think it would trump any action that the state was going to take in regard to taking over the schools with the recovery school district.
What I was saying, in addition to what you sent them already,
yes.
Like if we wanted to do something to say we are being proactive in terms of trying to get certified, highly qualified teachers, whatever you put in place is in addition to whatever you sent already.
Yeah.
So that's like a plus.
Yes, correct.
I recommend that as a board, we can do it as a board, or we can do it as individual board members to send something, in addition to what you're saying, to send what we've done, what we're enabling to do.
It's already been sent. They already sent all that information.
No, I was just echoing on Mrs. Joseph's recommendation that we do something different.
This is where she's coming from, and I could be wrong. We gave them our corrective action plan, and the 19th, they said, would you like to submit any additional information? And I almost took that as you need to submit some additional information. So that's kind of what we've been working on.
And that would be a great add-on, as Ms. Joseph said, adding on the percentage of our certified teachers, because we see the letter.
They've looked at all that. So when they met with us in August, they looked at budget, they looked at our percentage of certified teachers, they looked at equality of student expenditures, they looked at the 70% instructional requirement. They didn't come back to say anything about any, because we'd already addressed those. We've already addressed those things.
Maybe we should just ask for some money. Okay.
Additional information.
I do know they gave Caddo.
Give us some money, please.
I know they gave Caddo $2 million, and I know they gave Grant Parish $1 million.
Just for the decision they made.
Yeah. We have a lot of things we get ready to, you know, work on. Can we give additional funding to support these efforts?
It would be nice.
I think that would be the information.
So if we would have to go that route, and I'm looking like that's what you're saying, we'll have a three schools, 1, 2, 3, Park Ridge Middle.
I'm saying I know that option has worked.
I know
in
elementary and high school. Mm-hmm. So that means Park Ridge. No, what it mean? K through 8th grade?
Mm-hmm.
At the same school?
I'm working on
middle school?
I'm working on a plan. I'm just not ready to put it out there yet.
Okay.
Isn't Baker Heights and Park Ridge separate? Considered separate school?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
But we got Baker Middle on
there. I know.
But she's coming separate.
Correct.
You put them
there's four schools.
They have two. We have four site codes.
Right.
We might have to put those two, make take the weight, put all of them together.
Well, that's what it's going to have to be.
On one campus.
Eight through 12.
That's a thought.
We talked
about doing that at
Baker
High.
Yeah, we're going to have to do something, because right now, even like you said, with the funding and different stuff, something. It's going to have to change.
Our high school enrollment went up. I don't know that we have the space at the high school to add 7 and 8.
Well, they're only less than 100 kids.
Unless we move T buildings over there from the old Baker Heights campus.
No.
I'm saying we don't have the space to add.
I understand that too, but if you put T buildings, come on now.
We put brand new T buildings.
Thank you. Come on now.
For one thing, we're not taking nobody but the kids to their Baker. So that's how they got in the zone. Okay, we can't take the kids from
right.
Baton Rouge and this and that. But anyway, so
we're
going to only...
I like the
8
through
12. ...stay X amount of kids. 8
through 12 would be fine.
We just only have so many kids given the...
Because they be stepping up in the name anyway.
Because like behind Brittany, none of those kids are...
In Brown Heights.
And I don't understand that, but they're not.
Their address is Baton Rouge.
Right here, next door.
Well, so
and
I'm
a lot of those kids wanted to come to school here.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not opposed to 7 through 12. That's come up before. But again, we don't have classroom space. We certainly don't have the money.
But
we don't have the money to go buy
too big for the ones
buildings.
We got.
Huh?
They built the classes too big for the students we got in them. They got a classroom like this size for 30 students.
With the partition.
Oh, no, that's too tacky, no.
No, you know, they got some partition.
That look like walls.
I know what you're talking about, but no. How would the kids come in separately?
They have separate
doors. Oh, my God.
They got two doors already.
It's not going to work that way, no. No.
Oh, well, anyway.
That school is not designed for that, no.
That's currently being worked through, yeah.
No.
All right, anything else?
Well, I'm just thinking about the December 3rd meeting. I don't want it to be a surprise, so.
I don't know that we'll probably hold off for a special meeting.
I agree with that.
Tomorrow,
I like that idea. But like Mrs. Joseph indicated, the parents need to be alerted about something. Because
well,
otherwise,
as soon as we
it's
have
just
going to.
Well, like she said, too, she could just tell them that they still haven't heard from the state. That's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
From the state. Correct.
Yeah, exactly. Like they don't have them.
Right.
That's not good.
Right.
You're going to have somebody here want to know something.
Yeah. Correct.
We need to say something.
Yeah, we need to say something, but the parents need to start.
What would that be?
Working more or two of their kids. They just act like it's all on the school, the teachers. They don't spend no time in eating those kids, get on, change clothes. They don't keep them on. They on them phones. They outside. I mean, it's crazy. These parents,
it's a different time, baby. It's a different millennium.
So we just got to do what we got to do and keep it moving.
Did y'all want to draft some kind of a statement for our parents?
We can ask them a statement.
Oh, a statement.
Yeah, we can work on a statement.
Mm-hmm. For that meeting, for the December 3rd meeting.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
To address the parents in terms of the school reporting and everything. Okay.
Yeah, to them.
And
what is this one? What's the statement?
Can you take the presentation?
The 21st.
Right. Go straight to the
it's not.
Just one paragraph of your presentation.
Yeah.
We just go to the results. But it was.
But I'm not exactly about the results. I'm talking about a possible future move without telling them what it will be.
Because we don't even know.
No.
So we don't know that.
I don't want to throw something out there and then the state comes.
Well, I'm not saying
just
throw something
tell them
out
something.
There,
we're waiting on the state.
Yeah.
We'll let you know more.
Of course. We
that.
Talk about the
gosh.
Future Baker schools as we
oh, my
see
God.
It.
Y'all make things
exactly.
Out of nowhere. Oh, my God.
Yeah, we'll work something.
Please do.
Yeah.
Y'all make things complicated than what it is. Oh, jeez. I hate stuff like this.
All
right. Y'all continue to, if y'all have any questions, you know, I'm available. But please continue to encourage parents within your districts to, you know, work with their students, and so that we can work with their students and move together. Because this move can't be in isolation.
The other good news that you didn't bring up
what?
Is our enrollment has increased by about 6% this year.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm so sorry. Yeah, our enrollment has increased, specifically at the high school. Yeah, with the new school and children, you know, the students are coming back, so that's a good turn. I think ultimately we're going to have to do like we deal with the revival, our academic revival, we're going to have to do a marketing revival, too, to restore some of our seats, get our students back into the seats, so we need to increase enrollment. Even more.
About 3 months ago, I was in a store and I saw one of my students, and I asked her, I said, why don't you come to Baker Schools? Mm-hmm. You'll be in high school next year. Why don't you come? And she said, oh, no, no, no. And this week with Dr. Russell, she enrolled in Baker High. This week, her mom reached out to me and said, you know what, Joyce, I think I'm going to take you up on that. And she enrolled. And I'm very excited about that. So I know enrollment has increased, and we all have to do whatever we have to do to help increase enrollment.
Yeah, you can get this race to the right.
Mm-hmm. Woohoo, okay. Move on.
All right. Any other questions,
thank
y'all?
You.
Well, thank everybody for your contributions and for your heart, because in this room I see nothing but people who love children and nothing but people who are super smart. And we just have to pour that into our kids. All righty. We are adjourned.
Thank you, Jesus. People got to get back up in the morning and come back this way. You can just stay in the bed.
No, I can't.
Or stay around the house.
No, I can't.
People have places to go, things to do.
Well, it's just an hour. We did good. Yeah. Hour and a half. We did good.
Okay. Where's Mr. Smith?
Oh, sorry, I just tripped.